Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And today I'm delighted to have a returning guest to my show, Shauna Bluestar Newcomb, who is of Shawnee, Lenape, Azteca, Zapato indigenous lineage. And she is an amazing young woman who's working around the world to help to open the hearts of humanity, with a special emphasis on what is referred to as the reverence code to reset, reverence code reset, Changemaker's course, as well as the sacred feminine rising. Welcome back to the show, Shauna. It's so lovely to see you.
Thank you, Elaine. It's very good to be here.
Thank you. And I'm so happy that just this week I had the opportunity to interview your father, who you work with very closely. So we'll talk about that too. So would you be kind enough to tell us a little bit about what this reverence code is, where it originated, and what it's all about?
Sure. Yeah. I feel like, I guess it kind of came about in a few different ways, but it's been partly due to my own spiritual journey in many ways, as a Native person, and also as just being a human in this world and the ways that things are, just coming through a lot of personal traumas and tragedies and wanting to find my way, just kind of feeling this, as many people do, the call to the spiritual path. Yes. From a very young age. And so I feel like that was a big part of it. And then the other part is working with my father, collaborating with him, and we speak about something called the Domination Code. And really, it's looking to what many people might say, like the shadow or the darker side of human nature, I guess, in some ways, but just the introduction of misuse of power and control. So that's been a big focus of our work. And I feel like a big part of that is also helping to illuminate that shadow for people to help them be more empowered in their own lives. But for me, as I'd been working with my father, I just kept saying there's something else here that I can't really put a word to it. And I said, it's not respect. It's not, there's no really words to describe it, but when I'm tapping into it, I just feel this sense of like complete bliss and joy and love and awe and wonder. And I was like, the only word I can express it as is reverence. I just remember having that conversation very vividly with my dad. And I said, it's kind of like the opposite, you know, it's like the domination code and the reverence code. And right now it's interesting because the work kind of began many years ago, but I see how much more relevant it is, even more so in today's climate of everything that's been happening. So it's been a real powerful focus in our talks to have my dad's work speaking out on the Papal Bulls and the Doctrine of Discovery and the Domination Code. And I speak about that as well, but also this way forward, I feel like, and a healing path towards the reverence code, which is really also based on ancient indigenous wisdom teachings and what we've known way, way back with our ancestors. I feel like the original spirituality is definitely connected to the reverence code and following that, the path of love and spirit and interconnection of all things. So it's kind of it's hard to describe because it's more like a feeling, a state of being and a connection.
Well,
to our
I understand
ancestors.
What you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And just so that the listening audience knows, Shauna's father is Stephen Newcomb. And what she's speaking about at the Domination Code or the Doctrine of Discovery is, if you listen to this week's interview, he is a global scholar of how the Vatican back in the 1400s created what is called a bull. So a bull means it's a document that is essentially giving carte blanche to whoever is this is written to or for, to give them permission and absolution, which is really important to know. And you know the language probably much better than I, but essentially to use religion as the guise of domination. And that domination is not merely to make someone a slave, but it is also to destroy, to murder, to rape, to pillage, to enslave in every horrible human way, not only the human population, but also to control and consume and to attempt to own Mother Earth herself. Would that be accurate?
Well, yes. I mean, it's interesting how I look at and I kind of help people take them through a journey of understanding these things deeper. My dad's film is The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code. I feel like that is a very powerful introduction for people to understand the history in a deeper way. It's only about an hour long, but definitely it's that domination over the land, domination over people, domination. It's just like, it's this power and control over. So the introduction in the mindset that somebody is superior over another, or that they're superior over Mother Earth, and these types of thinking, you know, leading to the challenges and crises that we're seeing today with the social, political, ecological, economic crises, the racial injustices that, and these are all introductions of the domination code mindset, and it's really a constructed reality in many ways. So,
yeah, it's interesting that you use the word constructed reality, because we are, our language itself is so, has been so manipulated. Mm-hmm. And that there is layers and layers of coding even within the language for those who understand, you know, thinking back into the 1300s, 1400s, preceding that even, that there was particular language for those who were quote unquote educated, those who knew the meaning of particular words. And so we often are so misguided because we don't even know the meaning of the words we use. Mm-hmm. And your dad so eloquently pointed that out to me, is we use words without recognizing how demeaning and controlling and inherently disrespectful they are to mm-hmm. Not only our lives, as particularly as women, but anyone who is minority and most exclusively to Indigenous cultures, because they had this deep knowing of and this relationship with the living world that had nothing to do with ownership, but had mm-hmm. to do with ultimately with respect. And therefore, because of that, there was an open communication that we are not aware of the level and the depth of communication that life has with us.
Exactly.
Because we're ignorant. We have been taught to be ignorant. We're not necessarily wanting to be ignorant, but we've been taught that.
Yeah, it's definitely like a conditioning that I think sets in for us. So that I see it. Some people know about it, maybe some people don't, but people talk about decolonization education. And I really feel like that is a big part of it, is how do we start to examine and question? But I think it comes to critical thinking as well, that it's important to be questioning things. It's important to look to the root of the words and really understand the English language. My dad talks about this so often, is based on the Latin and Roman Empire. So, you know, that is just in itself, like the destructive domination, dehumanization, culture and historical narrative around all of that. And so if the English language is rooted in that, that's, we're speaking the dominator's language, and we don't exactly necessarily even have an awareness of that. It makes it very challenging as well to pick, well, what word am I going to use if I don't use this one? And I know the meaning of that, and the root of it really is about domination. it becomes very frustrating and confusing. As an alternative, the other part that I find very fascinating, and my dad and I both speak about this, is that when we speak in native language, it really connects to the heart and the spirit in a different and much deeper way that is connected more in that reference code. So I just feel like these are things that people don't have an awareness of. And because so much of our native languages have been lost through, unfortunately, the trauma and dehumanization of being forbidden to speak languages, children being sent to the boarding schools forcibly and taken away from their culture. These are the kinds of things, like, there's been an attempted erasure of the languages, but I celebrate that so many people do have a connection with their language, or there's different programs that people are wanting to implement to bring those back, because it really does help to bring us back into that state of heart connection and that connection with the all that is and the interconnection. So the more we can do that, the better.
Yeah, and native languages, and I have several individuals that I know that speak fluent native languages, and they're so poetic.
Yes.
They're so beautiful. So, and I don't in any way profess to be fluent in anything, but, you know, and since I'm from Michigan, you know, there's a lot of, we don't even realize how much of our rivers, our roads, our cities are named after indigenous words. So where my office is called Shiawassee, and that means runs by the river. People just think, well, that's a road. What does that mean when something runs by a river? It's running by life, that the river, the water is supporting life. What was here before? So we've been so misdirected, but when you feel and know that, it does, as you said, it touches you so deeply that it almost wakes up memories.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what is important, because this isn't our first go around on this planet, and we're trying to remember who we really are.
Exactly.
Aside from all of the doctrine, aside from all of the colonization, all the brutality. And I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Shauna, it seems to me the beauty of what you're doing is you're helping people remember who they really are. And there's such a deep joy and a relief in that.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that, I don't have to be angry, or I don't have to hate this person, or I don't have to follow this rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freedom.
Yes, absolutely. The liberation. And I see the more that we can, I feel like the extension of my work, yes, I work with my father, but I have my own perspective and way that I help people understand the information. And I look deeper. My burning question was, well, where did this domination code begin, and how did it get started, and was it always like that, and what was there before? So I just went even further back into the history and deep seeking, deep searching into, you know, what was there before. And in my awareness, in my learning, I began to understand more about the clan mothers and the goddess cultures, the European indigenous perspective, which sounds like an oxymoron to a lot of people. But just really, I feel like that is very much a part of it, is remembering who we are. And I think far too often people feel that there's something wrong with me. And one of the questions, you know, that I pose to people is, what if it's society? You know, what's wrong with society, and what's right with me? What's right with you? I feel like that if we can just start to begin to have the perspective changed and look to that direction, when there's been a focus more on the linear mindset of things and kind of business as usual, the normal that everyone wants to get back to, that disconnect from heart and spirit is really detrimental to our whole state of well-being, and not really feeling a sense of connection to who we really truly are, or feeling like there's something wrong with us. When I feel like that's exactly the place to be celebrating right now. And there's a big shift in that direction too.
You know, Sean, I think that so many people, they kind of misuse or misunderstand or misrepresent the term spiritual. And we are spirit.
Yes.
So we are not religion. We are spirit. But so many people overlap, or they either see it as one thing, to be spiritual means you're religious, or it's the diametrically opposed, that you're in opposition to religion. But not understanding, to say you're spiritual is an acknowledgement that you are spirit. You were spirit before you were born. You remain spirit during life. You return to the spirit world. You're never separated from it.
Exactly.
So you can't, in an arrogant way, say, well, I'm spiritual. Well, of course you are. Mm-hmm. You're here. So is a plant spiritual. So is an animal spiritual, because it is a spirit.
Yes.
So I think what is so beautiful about what you're doing, Shauna, is you're helping us to see that in a different way. And what I think is so wonderful is that you're, number one, you're working with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your personalities are very different, although I've only met you via speaking to you, but I mean, there is a deep intellect of searching information that he has, and a drive as that man who's wanting to be protective. And I don't mean to speak for him, but that's my impression. It's such a deep level of integrity.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to dissuade him. And you are this beautiful light. You know, it's not a coincidence that you're Shauna Blue Star. You know, that there is this, for every bad thing, there's always the antidote. There's always, mm-hmm. if there's an injury, there can be healing. If there's trauma, there can be correction. If there's disaster, there can be mitigation of that disaster. There's always a way to find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
If we're willing to look.
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely.
So tell us what you see as this work that you're doing called the Sacred Feminine Rising, please.
Partly I would kind of back up just a little bit, because I feel like, it speaks to this time, this change of times, and the times that we're in. Part of my spiritual work that was very challenging for me for a time, and I kind of just came to a place of surrender and acceptance, is that I started to have messages come to me, and the spiritual messages about the changes that we're experiencing. And I didn't quite understand it and didn't know if I should be sharing that with people, but just more and more as I did share it, and as I began to share it on larger stages, even, I had so many people coming up to me and saying, like, thank you for sharing the messages that you share, because it helped them to open up spiritually, or to say, like, I receive messages too. They would like come up to me and say, I receive messages too, but I just don't tell anyone. Or it's like, it's this taboo, kind of like you're saying, like, there's certain things that people have stigmas around. People might think that they are not religious, so they are not spiritual. And it's like, the spirit is in everything. Like, from the Native perspective, you know, like, spirit is where everything is spirit.
Everything is spirit.
How can we not have that? But religion is a completely different mm-hmm. way of that kind of, it's a different systematic approach to things. So I don't necessarily say those are the same. As far as my Sacred Feminine Rising, though, I felt like that was part of it, is the messages that were coming to me, as well as the prophecies that our Native indigenous elders have spoken to. And so many different, you know, there's the Eighth Fire Prophecy, or the Eagle and the Condor Prophecy, or the Hopi Prophecy. And it's really speaking to this time of great change, where things are moving into higher consciousness. And the invitation really that I see through my messages and through listening to the elders and looking at the prophecies is that we have to be shaken up right now in order to wake up, because the ways in which people have been living and behaving, and this model of the domination code, of the power over domination, dehumanization, is kind of like the normal that everyone just thinks, well, isn't that human nature? Isn't that just how life is? It's always been like that. Well, maybe it hasn't.
Maybe it hasn't.
The question. And how can we return? I feel like if a pendulum has been swinging, like, how can we return to the reference code? It's where we started, the original spirituality of the entire planet, regardless of what continent we've lived on, what lineage. It's beautiful to see that our common roots, our common sense of things, is in that heart connection, is in that understanding. Like, yes, even in European culture, there's indigenous roots there.
Absolutely.
And that
deeper
spiritual connection. It's just the memories have been not erased, but have been subdued,
cloaked.
I suppose. Yes, cloaked. And so, but then there's still this calling. That's what I think is so beautiful right now. So many people feel this calling, or like kind of a tapping, or getting dreams, or things are coming up. Like intuitive is the intuition is calling to us to say, hey, maybe there's something here. There's a curiosity. And so I just say celebrate that and completely start to, the more you can tune into those subtle signs and those synchronicities and different ways that spirit is calling to you, ancestors are calling to you right now, and absolutely is real. It's nothing to just dismiss and just like throw away like, oh, that's my imagination. That's the conditioning that is important that we move into a different way now.
So. Yes, and I think that people always personify ancestors.
Okay.
But we forget that the air is our ancestor. The mm-hmm. air knows us better than we know ourselves. It knows literally every cell of our being. The water is an element that is a being that is alive.
Yes.
That our own bodies were created in water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with minerals and information and sound, the sound of the mother's heartbeat as the baby is growing, this incredible, perfect orchestration of sound and movement and elements that are here long before humanity ever stepped on this planet. So mm-hmm. we're so, you know, so many people will ask me, well, is my grandmother now my guardian angel? Well, no, but she is aware
mm-hmm.
and is learning. So we have a tendency to personify our immediate ancestry, of what mm-hmm. we perceive as our, you know, next generation before us, etc. But it's so much greater than that, because we are one human species.
Yeah.
And even the beautiful medicine wheel of the four directions is showing the four races of humanity. That was necessary that our skin was a different color, because where we originated on the planet, we had to have different levels of melanin. We had to have all of these things, but we're still one species.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the plant kingdom, there's many, many different kinds of trees, but there's individual trees and different species of trees that are just as important. So our mind has been scattered.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
I was going to say that is kind of part of it is really a disconnect. We've had a disconnect from, like we were mentioning before, like who we really are. There's been a disconnect. And then there's a questioning, like, if that's who I really am, well, society says that that's not how things are supposed to be. So it creates a lot of confusion. And I just feel like part of the sacred feminine rising is connected to what my messages are talking about, the great shift. The prophecies are talking about this time of great change. And really that I see that the future is bright. It's hard to hold that awareness when things have been so chaotic and confusing. And there's been so much that's kind of in our faces. That's the dark shadow right now. But I feel like in a way that's part of our evolution in order for us to see this darkness. It's helping actually for us to be empowered to recognize it and understand it. And really, like, the more that people are kind of disgusted by it, then I feel like, oh, okay, that's the recognition. That's not what we want. That doesn't feel good. So how can we move forward in a different way, make different choices?
Right.
And I feel like part of the sacred feminine rising is not only about like just women and the whole gender issues around that, but I feel like it's that we are all part, we all have the masculine feminine within us, but also that there's been this imbalance that was introduced long, long ago.
Yes.
And so it is definitely about what, you know, we had the clan mothers at one time. That's also history that people don't necessarily understand or know, that things followed a matrilineal line down way, way, way back in the deeper history. And so it was women passing on knowledge to other women or daughters. It doesn't mean that men don't have, You know, it's a balance, it's holding a balance and a harmony. But I also recognize across the gender spectrum, like, I just want to honor that as well, that, you know, each and every one of us have a masculine and feminine within, but this suppression and oppression of the feminine has been for so many centuries, for millennia, that again, that's been forgotten as well. And so it's a time to really honor the sacred feminine in a different way. And I think that is really beautiful, like not only within ourselves, I see it's beautiful as well that women in many ways are stepping into their own authentic power and men are coming back into their hearts. And I just feel like that, I just love it. I think it's so beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, people, they're often afraid of, first of all, I agree with what you're saying in regard to what's happening now, but we have to see what isn't working.
Exactly.
It has been hidden for so long that we never knew what was going on behind closed doors or how certain people were allowed to learn to live by rules that did not govern everyone. So we have to see the unworkable so that we can discover the workable.
Correct.
And also most people, they're afraid of, well, if what happens to my position, who do I discover who I am? If it's, let me just say, as a male, and they're expected to be the one who is tough, have all the answers, to be the breadwinner, to do all of these things. I would imagine there's some level of relief when you don't have to have all these answers. But also, I think that it's important, Shauna, for people to understand why we were mostly matriarchal was because men were more likely to die. You know, so women, by natural physical attributes, we were the ones who were the capable of holding more than one spirit in their body at a time, giving birth. That newborn was by necessity required to have a constant contact with the mother so the baby could be nursed and protected. The only species on the planet that isn't able to fend for itself relatively quickly. And so we need strong, loving, supportive men.
Yes.
It's essential. But they don't have to be the bad guy. They don't have to be the brute. They don't have to have any of those things that indoctrination has created. So it's
it's traumatizing to men too. Like I think it's been traumatizing where people are at odds. Like the domination code in itself creates this power dynamic, you know, above and below. And I think that happens certainly with like having people of color, you know, coming against each other, or, you know, like, oh, it's white, it's black, oh, it's this, it's that, oh, it's the patriarchy, oh, it's, and so none of this, like, I feel like all of these things, if we can just start to see like our common root, the common root of all of these issues, if we start to look at it as the domination code is our common wounding that all of us across the board are suffering. And men are suffering from patriarchy just as much. I mean, not just as much, I don't want to say that, but men are also suffering in a different way. Traumatizing to have that indoctrination into, oh, this is what it means to be a man. And this is how you behave. There's, you know, even in my research that I was looking into, like in Hammurabi's law, it's talking about like, that's when they actually had the introduction of the phrase written in stone. It was literally chiseled into stone, these different laws. And really it's the domination code being introduced. And this is how a man is to treat his wife. He's supposed to beat her, you know, like into submission kind of a thing. Like that's being a good husband. That doesn't necessarily feel good to the husband in the beginning. Like they probably were wondering why do they need to do this? But then that just over time, it became like, oh, that's what's introduced. And so none of these things, I think it's just so important that we start to look at the deeper history of so many, like you said, and I was kind of saying in the beginning, the more that we can look and see what's not working, like how these these different patterns, which is really rooted in the domination dehumanization, that domination code that was introduced, it is within those papables, but I feel like that's the sophisticated model that is now being imposed upon original nations throughout the planet. Mm-hmm. But it certainly was introduced long before that in many, many different ways. And the ripple effects of that are so detrimental. So that's why it's so important that we can start to see this healing that's possible when we mm-hmm. look to these different perspectives of seeing the domination code is something that we're all challenged with. And the reverence code is something that is innate within all of us. And it's that spirituality that's just been part of like who we are, who we
came
to be.
It's the goodness within us. It's the goodness within us, isn't it? And to have that, you know, experience of, I can only speak for myself. I remember the first moment holding my child.
Uh-huh.
And there, everything else in the world is gone.
Yes. Yes.
Everything that mattered before is irrelevant. All that matters is this life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this awakening that happens. And I think that that's, to me, that's the original point of reverence. When we see this incredible beauty all around us, that not a single one of us know how to make a single human tear.
Mm.
Not a single one of us know how to make one drop of water,
mm-hmm.
one lettuce leaf, one anything. And so there's such an abundance of information, of beings for us to be reverent of.
Mm-hmm.
It's endless. It's really endless.
And I feel like it's a really great practice. Like that's something that, I mean, it's kind of funny, but I love going on nature walks and I highly recommend that as a practice. But it's just like seeing with the eyes of like, when you see little toddlers, I like to use them as a perfect example because everything is so new and so exciting and so just in the moment, like with their emotions and everything, but just how exciting it is to be like, you know, out in the world. But so I kind of feel like sometimes I'm on my walks and I'm just like, I'm in this awe and this wonder. And a couple weeks ago, I was taking a walk and I was just so amazed by the textures and grasses or leaves, you know, and to be in that, like, it seems kind of silly, but I just, it's the celebration of life, really, just like how incredible, like you just, you know, said, we can't just like create that. It's here, but it's how
and it's not silly. It's really, profound. It's so profound.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That so. We have, you know, this. Can you just explain a little bit more so that remember that there's people from around the world listening to this, and many people, you know, preceding the papal bull of the doctrine of discovery that came to invade the North American continent.
Mm-hmm.
That had already happened for centuries in Europe.
Exactly.
They were now spreading out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, we think about how people were subjugated for so long.
Yes.
So can you help us understand a little bit deeper what you mean by domination code? First of all, domination and then the word code. Because there are two important aspects of that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain a little bit more about that, please?
I guess I'm kind of looking to how you, I don't know exactly what you're asking, but I look at it as the mindset, really. My dad talks about the language patterns as well, but there, I feel like it is a code. It's sort of like something that is, like even within the conditioning of people receiving this information and then people just kind of having this perception like, well, this is just how things are. I see that domination is the power over, control over. And that what I said in the beginning, this kind of like constructed reality that just because one person says something is true doesn't necessarily mean that it is. Just because like I come, you know, somebody's going to one person house and saying, well, now this is my house because I came to the front door. people would say, well, they're crazy and there's something's wrong with this person. And yet that's kind of really the constructed reality. You know, my dad talks about, as a Native person, looking from the perspective of we're standing on the shore, seeing those European ships come to Turtle Island, you know, that's a completely different perspective than is taught in history books,
right,
of the ships going to those lands. And what is the experience of those people coming in to conquer, but really it's to dominate, dehumanize, to take over, it says those things in those papal bulls. It says to conquer, vanquish, and destroy all Saracens, pagans, and enemies of Christ, to take all of their lands, possessions, and gold for God, glory, and gold, I believe in one of them. But, that's the actual language that's translated from Latin to English. Mm-hmm. But as far as like that domination, I just see that it was the introduction over a period of time, over, you know, centuries and centuries and centuries. And yes, the Inquisition across Europe and the witch burnings and all of that domination, dehumanization, and that trauma and suffering that literally goes in at a cellular level. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we still carry that. Like, I believe in reincarnation and lifetime to lifetime, and how much that's still within us. And even as women, like, to put ourselves out there and to be speaking our truth, to be authentic and showing up, that's really, you know, it can be very stretching for us and edgy for us, because it's like, oh, we're putting ourselves out there. But I feel like this is a part of the growth and part of the opportunity and the invitation is to just really begin to celebrate like the beauty of this innate spiritual connection that is a part of us all. Like, every single person on this planet is intuitive. And I just want to celebrate that, because, you know, if we are not intuitive, I feel like we're disconnected. Like the animals and everybody, like, animals have a sense of their own, like, awareness of danger. And so if we're disconnected from our intuition, that could be endangering us. So it's like, how can we just realize these are parts and pieces of ourselves, and it's part of the whole, it's part of the great being that we are. So,
well, it's interesting. I just had a kind of a flash that, you know, that so many patterns have been replicated without us really recognizing it. Like the domination of kingdoms, let's say in Europe, in ancient Europe, it was, you know, their landmass, their land grab was getting very great, but their gene pool was getting smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. So that they, as inbreeding individuals, all you have to do is look on internet and you can see the sociopathic, the deformity, the challenge that, you know, when a human is bred with their own siblings or their own genetic line, there's a problem. But it's so this incestual notion. But many corporations have followed that pattern. And, you know, as there was a colonization, there was always the ultimate authority was the monarchs. So they were doing it to please the monarchs. Well, people now in corporations, they're doing it to please the shareholders. You know, so there's this invisible, or maybe not so invisible, but there's this level of willingness to gain for the satisfaction of a few. So, you know, we're rarely kind of replicating, or we're just causing, instead of calling it a monarchy, we're calling it a corporation. You know, they're really the same. So there's this unveiling of these hidden truths.
Yes. And I feel like this is kind of part of the mindset of the domination code. So, you're speaking to monarchies, governments, even, you know, my dad's talking about those types of language. The word civilization is actually rooted in domination. And these are I feel like it's what's hidden in plain sight. And so what's been just kind of the constructed reality and having people think like, oh, well, this is just normal. This is just how it's always been. It wasn't always in this. It wasn't always there. Like the state, that government, that monarchy wasn't always there. It was introduced, and it does have a, it follows a certain pattern. And I go over that in my Reverence Code Reset course, is helping people to take it to a deeper level to say, this is how the domination code mindset is working in the background. It's like that binary code that's in the computer, like, you know, it's there, but people aren't seeing it. People aren't recognizing it. The more that we can start to see it, the more that we're empowered to say, oh, okay, well, that's kind of, why are we following this? This doesn't actually feel good. And it's not helping our planet. It's not helping our well-being as people, our interconnection with each other. And so I feel like there's a very powerful shift that we're being invited to right now. And so that's one of the reasons why I have the work that I'm doing, and just wanting to help people be empowered through healing and coming back to their own sense of spiritual connection, intuition, and understanding the reverence code and the sacred feminine.
So my guest is Shauna Shauna Bluestar Newcomb. So Shauna, can you please tell me how someone could get in touch with you if they wanted to take these courses? And I'm assuming they're online because of what's happening now. How might someone, what is the expectation that someone might have, and how would they reach you? How would they participate in that?
So I have, my website is Shauna Bluestar, S-H-A-W-N-A, bluestar.com. And there's a lot there. I'm also on Facebook or Instagram. And yes, I have my Reverence Code Reset program. It's 8 modules. And so that's been really beautiful to see different groups come through that over the years. And I do have my dad as a guest facilitator with me at times. So that's nice to collaborate with him and have people be able to ask questions and his scholarly ways, as you mentioned. it's a nice balance with us too. And I have my Sacred Feminine Rising program. That's a women's healing immersion program that's coming up starting this spring. So I'm very excited to offer that. And I just see there's real beauty in synergy in women coming together and opening and working on healing, as well as opening to their own healing gifts and their own voice as well. So I think it's a really powerful time to be doing this focus.
It certainly is. It's an honor to be alive now. So can you tell us what you're doing with, you know, you have in the text that you had sent me, there's obviously the word that we're so used to hearing, which is history.
Okay.
H-I-S. Uh-huh. And then what is her story? What is
her story? I mean, her story.
I think that's important.
I'm not the originator of that.
No, I understand.
Know who was, but yeah, I just see that that's important as well. Like that, you know, as we're looking at it, I feel like it is kind of part of this narrative where things have been in the domination code. People have the focus of kind of like the patriarchal model as the narrative as well. So looking to women's history, looking to the celebration of like the clan mothers, and understanding this really just like a balance that has been there since time immemorial, and our original nations have a deep sense of that, I think. And not always. I think there's sometimes a disconnect as well in some parts, but I see that there's a coming back to where the clan mothers are honored, the grandmothers are honored, and just really the whole connection of life is seen in a completely different way. And really just that reverence for life, reverence for ourselves and each other, the sacred feminine and sacred masculine. I feel like just the balance, holding the balance and harmony is what's needed right now. And that's what's so uplifting. I feel like it's this breath of fresh air, like, oh, yay, there's something to look forward to. I think that's really powerful for people
and,
right
and
now.
And what are you learning, or what are you doing with your gatherings, with your teachings, to help people understand how to be respectful to LGBTQ groups of people, and how, you know, they have often been so maligned, and, you know, it's so sad to see. Tell us what you're doing in regard to that.
It hasn't necessarily been like a main focus of something that I do, but I just feel like maybe it's because I grew up in a multicultural community and family. I don't know. I've just always had an acceptance for, you know, all different variety of people. And I just see the beauty in everybody. So for me, I just feel like it's about inclusion and it's about celebrating the beauty of all people. And so like, as far as even my like Sacred Feminine Rising program, like I want to completely open up to LGBTQ community and say like, welcome, because like, I see that just as much as like just women, like, you know, born women, like might say like, oh, okay, well, we've been oppressed and suppressed. The sacred feminine has been suppressed. And so like LGBTQ community, I feel like is a big part of that. And like even trans sisters, like they have been oppressed and suppressed, and like the harm that that has caused to not be able just to be like who they are, like that is so painful. Just as much as it is painful for somebody that's born, you know, in the woman's body kind of a thing. So I just feel like it's important that this is part of our evolution as well. Maybe like it's not something that's understood, and maybe that's because it's not talked about. Maybe that's because it's not like invited into communities.
Right.
That as we can learn. We can learn from each other. We can grow with each other and to be in a solidarity, I guess, in some ways.
Yes. And as well as people that have maybe are born with disabilities or have a disability that is the result of a trauma of some kind, you know, that people have, they're so afraid of what they don't understand.
Yeah.
Then they victimize those that they don't understand.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what you're speaking about earlier. You're touching the heart of your own humanity.
Yeah.
And understanding, you know, everyone is vulnerable. Some are more vulnerable than others. And we really need to, as a human species, gather together to be inclusive and protective. And both my husband and I both had siblings that were disabled. So, you know, I grew up with that awareness of, to me, my brother was no different than us, other than he had difficulty walking and all of those things. But, you know, always a shock to see the prejudice that people would have. You know, as a child, we saw that. So, we learn to be afraid because we're taught that something is wrong or right, but it's never defined. So it's always this unknown that incites the fear. I think, you know, that you never know what shoe is going to drop next. So, you know, as you're traveling around, and I know that you're a part of working with you're a delegate working with elders and leaders in the Mother Earth delegation of United Original Nations. Can you speak about that organization, that group, please?
Yes, that's been amazing. I just feel extremely honored to be part of, it's the Mother Earth delegation of United Original Nations. I couldn't say it at first, it's a long name, but it's different elders and original nations peoples from all around the world. So that's been beautiful. And I just remember like our first coming together was actually right after the pandemic began. We had some of our first online prayer calls. That's been pretty healing for people all over the world. And to connect in that way, the fact that we can be online and in these communities is actually pretty amazing.
It is.
And just to hear from the elders and have that connection is really meaningful and really powerful for me. And I just feel like there's a really good connection. And I mean, it's very powerful, just the power of prayer, to be in that kind of a circle with people that are holding sacred fires and really doing really good work in terms of holding space for other communities. And there's just been so much. I can't explain there's a lot of different working groups within the Mother Earth delegation. And I just appreciate being in that connection of the circle and the support that we have for each other, but also the support that's going out to all these other communities almost like a ripple effect.
Well, what I think is so beautiful about what you're doing, and if you would speak to this, you know, as a younger woman, you know, being able to learn from the elders that you're with, mm-hmm. you know, because they were your age one time, you know, and you hopefully will be their age one time in the future, you know. So we have been forced to separate in our mind ages, as if, you know, a particular decade you start to lose your vitality or you lose your value. And it should be just the opposite, that we're all have value no matter how long we live. Exactly. And so with women your age and others your age, how are they exploring this beautiful connection with the whole panorama of ages and different wisdom keepers from around the world?
I mean, I'm always feeling so grateful to be among, you know, like some of the 13 Indigenous grandmothers. And I completely agree with you. Like, I think that's another challenge within our society. Like, the modern world often shuns, you know, the elders and like, oh, we're just going to put them away and not, you know, they don't have any contribution. They have so much contribution. And so mm-hmm. that's something that I really celebrate is I look forward to hearing from the elders, and they're funny. Like, usually within our Indigenous communities, they're really hilarious and funny, and there's a lot of stories. And
well, there's a depth of perspective that they have that absolutely. A younger person or measure, that, you know, the term measure, they mm-hmm. they can discern so much easier than, let's say, a young person in love is crazy, can't see everything about what's happening. But then, you know, someone else can look back or look at it with a different perspective so that they can share their wisdom, they can share their insight, and yeah, not in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what's really great, is it's available to people all over the world. And there are kind of a variety of ages in the delegates, but I'm just grateful that we have such a connection to the elders in that circle for,
you know, what you said something a little earlier that I think is important for everyone to know is the entire earth is filled with Indigenous people, mm-hmm. you know, so we have to be careful not to just segregate Native American people or, yeah. you know, people of, you know, European descent or people of Asian descent or whatever. You know, we all were born where we were born.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we don't have the sensitivity mm-hmm. that I think we need to be willing to look beyond. Yes, of course, the Indigenous elders, and they carry the tradition of awareness that mm-hmm. is such a treasure to all of humanity. Because it wasn't contrived information. It was the observation through years and years and years mm-hmm. of the studies of how the stars moved and how did you understand the future when you watched what the earth did with plants? Mm-hmm. You learned how to measure, you learned how to preserve, you learned how to gauge time. And so there's a wealth of information that we have completely been unaware of. We think yeah. that time is only what's on our watch.
Exactly. It's the modern introduction of all these things. So
yes.
Yeah.
So it's really great. So Shauna, what is the best way for people to reach out to you again? So that, you know, if they have any questions or they'd like to join what you're doing or they'd like to participate somehow or learn from you, what is the best way for you for people to reach out?
So you can reach me at my website is shaunabluestar.com, S-H-A-W-N-A blue, S-T-A-R.com. And I am also on Facebook. I think that probably be the best way, and Instagram. Okay. But
can you tell us about your middle name, Blue Star?
Well, it is my given name. I've had people probably throughout my whole life say like, oh, did you just make that up? No, my parents decided to give that name to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe I decided to be born with that name. Who knows? But it does, over the years, like I have felt like it is a spiritual name for me. So it carries a meaning for me now that I didn't really maybe understand as a younger person. But I do feel like I appreciate that. My parents, you know, they were romantic as well. I think it was, they looked at Venus or something, and they would always say that's their blue star. And then when I was born, they decided to call me that.
I think that when we, you know, there's a beautiful old song, we are stardust, we are golden. We really are from the stars.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know,
and that's what our elders say, like, where's the origin of where we come from? We come from the stars.
Yes.
And quantum physics and, you know, science is also talking about that these days.
Yes. So it's not a fanciful notion. It's reality, because our Earth itself came from a star.
Exactly.
You know, the fire of a sun, the sun is a star. You know, we just have so many fanciful notions about things without really looking at the sun isn't just the sun.
Yeah.
The sun is a star. And a star has to explode in order for a planet to exist. So, and that includes us, because we're made from this beautiful Earth. So there's so much to share, and there's so much joy. And I appreciate, Shauna, the joy that is always exuding from you.
Oh, thank you.
And I thank you for that. So my guest has been Shauna Blue Star Newcomb, and I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for the incredible work that you're doing, working with your dad, Stephen Newcomb, and really helping to, I think that is so beautiful that you work with your dad, that you can be teachers together.
Yeah.
And that you're both respected and you're both clearly love one another. And that's what we really need for families to have, is the respect between the males and the females, no matter the age or the relationship, you know, parent, father, brother, sister, mother, aunt, grandmother, grandfather. We need to learn that we're all here to be witness to life and to participate in life in ways we have yet to really remember, but we're remembering. Thank you so much, Shauna. I appreciate all that you do. This is Elaine Grohlman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Please remember, we're on this beautiful planet in the cosmos. And in order to learn, we need to glean the wisdom by sitting in circles and never looking anywhere but across in the circle, that we can see everyone and listen to everyone instead of on crazy party lines that are fallacies. Thank you so much, dear.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.